Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. A recent documentary looks at how stress can affect our lives and how you don't have to heal alone. Friends and Neighbors is a film by Wilmington resident Benjamin Wagner, who shares how dealing with chronic stress and trauma can shape our lives. In the film, he shares his story, along with conversations with experts and neighbors as they show how you can heal and still connect with those around you. In this edition of Enlighten Me, Delaware Public Media's Joe Irizarry speaks with Wagner about his film and life experiences.
Friends and Neighbors, your latest film. What is Friends and Neighbors about?
It's really about it begins with my experience addressing stress and trauma in my own life and expands really rapidly into this, you know, epiphany, if you will, that the experience I was having, which often feels very lonesome and isolating, distress, was something that was happening all around us. I mean, I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress in 2021. So it's, you know, COVID. You know, people are reporting very high levels of anxiety and depression, right? Liquor stores are their business is booming. And I was that guy. I had been globetrotting as part of the Facebook Journalism Project. I had just moved to Delaware from New York City. And I didn't know it, but I was on the edge of burnout. So as a guy who's worked in media for 30 years, has been a journalist since he was 15, writing soccer stories for the Suburban and Wayne Times, I did what comes naturally and grabbed a camera and started documenting the experience, not just the experience I was having, but I went looking for the helpers. My first documentary is called Mr. Rogers and Me. Fred always used to say, when you see scary things in the news, look for the helpers and you know that there's hope. So I set out looking for the helpers around the state of Delaware in my neighborhood and amongst my friends and neighbors.
When did you say that, you know, this is the film that I need to make now?
Great question. My brother and I made Mr. Rogers and Me after meeting Fred, I mean, more than a decade ago. And we had a little nut of cash that we had set aside from the earnings of that film. Not that it was crazy amounts, but just a teensy little bit because we never paid ourselves. We did it. We gave some to the Fred Rogers Library in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, and the rest we put in this little account to save to do something else, something that mattered, something that was meaningful. And I think the moment was I was watching – I was actually having an anniversary podcast with some of the folks who had been in Mr. Rogers and Me, Tim Madigan, Amy Hollingsworth, my brother. And I was going back over Fred footage, and there's this great footage of him in the Senate in 1964 or so, and he's trying to get the $20 million to keep Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood on air. And he says, if we can only help people understand that feelings are mentionable and manageable, then we'll have done a terrific public service for mental health. And I had forgotten the for mental health part. We'd actually used that clip in the first movie without that bit because I wasn't hip to mental health in 2008, 9, and 10 when I was doing the first movie. I didn't – frankly, it just didn't seem like it applied to me. But when I saw that clip and I'm in the depths of despair myself, I'm feeling unsettled, unsteady, uncomfortable all the time, I thought, oh, this is it. Fred's the key. And together with the diagnosis, it just seemed to make a lot of sense that this was a way to help other people. So, you know, Fred used to say, what's – personal is also universal, right? The things that we think are exclusively our experience are often experiences shared by many, many people. So I set out to tell what was a me story because I knew the data supported that it's a we story.
How hard is it to put your life out there? It's not easy to discuss depression, stress, mental health, you know, trauma, PTSD. You know, you share a lot about your life from childhood to adulthood, and you know, how did that feel?
Well, I mean, if I'm being honest, it doesn't feel great. I will say, and this is the trick with feelings being mentionable and manageable, which is the more you hold on to them, the more you kind of stuff them down, the more shame, the more sadness, the more sort of physical discomfort I now know I was carrying. So, I mean, it feels a lot better than that. you know, if I'm being honest, it feels a little awkward pretty often. I just gave a speech an hour ago and told some of this stuff. I've been doing lots of interviews about it. But it is my hope, and it is my – you know, the data seems to support it, or let me say this differently. It is my hope, and I've also seen this happen at every screening, and it's happened since Mr. Rogers and me, that when you're able to tell the truth about your own, you know, difficult moments, we all have them, right? We all have loss and grief, something weird with our parents or a sibling or at school or what have you. Like, I don't think there's a, you know, human that isn't doesn't suffer or struggle. So I don't know. I move through that discomfort pretty quickly because I know that it's of value to others. I've seen it. People come up to me after screenings and want to share, you know, something they've never told anybody. That's the cool thing. It's kind of viral in a positive way, right? Like it creates a sort of imperative for a small group of people to then share their things with each other. So, I mean, yeah, it's kind of uncomfortable. It gets easier. I would say, frankly, talking about like how much beer you drink is not really a conversation most of us have, but probably more of us need to, you know? And again, the data supports it. And I'll tell you, man, like once I learned about the research and the physiology behind a lot of this stuff, I'm Gen X. So a lot of it was a little eye-rolly for me once upon a time, you know, like, okay, hippie. But, you know, you get a little older, you get a little more comfortable in your skin. But moreover, I learned some of this research, like, you know, there's a direct correlation between adverse childhood experiences, things like divorce, having parents who are incarcerated, having parents who have mental health issues, growing up around violence, domestic abuse, right? These things have a direct correlation to things like the likelihood of drug addiction, the likelihood of being in an adverse experience later in your life, incarceration, all that stuff. So there's a straight line. This is a Folletti's research from the 90s and early aughts called the ACEs, Adverse Childhood Experiences Research. There's a straight line. And once you start to get into the physiology and you understand the brain science, for me, the sort of Gen Xer who is like, whatever, hippie, it gets grounded in something that's really usable and practical and like tangibly real. And that helped me. That I find that to be very helpful. And it's less esoteric. It's you can put a finger on it. It makes better sense. You can measure it.
As part of the film, you interview your parents.
Yeah.
And that's not an easy thing. You know, it just in everyday life, sometimes talking to your parents about the tough things, stuff that happened in the past can be tough. Here you are doing it as part of a film that you're sharing with the world.
So yeah, yeah.
How was that like? Did you have to do some real convincing to get them to talk so openly about uncomfortable topics? Or was it just, hey, we know what this is about and boom.
They knew what it was about because I had told them. I'm a surprise, surprise. I'm a pretty transparent person. I'll tell you this because you'll find this interesting. You're a journalist. There's a solid argument that says me being a journalist is a direct response to growing up in a household where I didn't know what was happening at any given moment. So what do I grow up to become? A person who asks questions for a living, right? A person who's trying to put a finger on just what's happening in the world, in my community at any given moment. So I find that to be a pretty interesting sort of through line. And I think that to some degree, man, like – I was always asking these questions. The difference is I think they expected or hoped I would just drop it. You know, so I would put a record out, as I mentioned in the movie, I had a record called Crash Site. And frankly, most of my records touch on some of this stuff because I'm a singer-songwriter. So what are you going to pull from? You know, yeah, you're going to pull from like I fell in love with this beautiful woman and I want to get married and have babies or whatever, like the romance. But the other side of that is you're going to pull on the hard stuff. I wrote in the early aughts, I was what used to be referred to as a blogger. I used to write every day as a means to try and build audience to come to my shows and then to come see my movies. And I would often write about tough stuff there. So I think they knew. And then not so long ago during COVID, I started doing a podcast called Friends and Neighbors, in which this stuff came up. I interviewed my brother and I remember my dad being like, could you just not have talked about the divorce? And I was like, well, I mean, you know, for us, it's a big part of the story, you know. So I don't think it was a huge surprise to them. And no, I didn't have to do a lot of smooth talking. I said, here's what I'm trying to do. Here's why I'm doing it. I did say, and this is an unusual move for a journalist, but I said, if there's anything you're uncomfortable with, we can talk about it. You know, I'm not saying like it's ironclad. Normally, as a journalist, if you're on the, if you say I'm off the record, you're off the record. Otherwise, you're on the record. In this case, I said, listen, I'm not, I don't want to hurt anybody. I want to help. And I think that they rallied behind that concept above all, truly. Both of them did it, I think, for slightly different reasons. I think they understood, as I do, that there's an opportunity to help people because these are shared experiences. Again, the specifics, maybe not so much, but broadly speaking, like families, I mean, families are full of dynamics, you know? And we didn't all inherit Mr. Rogers as our dad, you know what I mean? So this is an opportunity for all of us to try and help.
So where and when can people watch Friends and Neighbors?
Sure. Friends and Neighbors is available now for free at your PBS station. It's on their apps. And then as of May 15th, it will be also on Apple and Amazon. The only difference is the free one is 56 minutes and the rental one is 70 minutes. You know, one is slightly more cinematic. I always advocate as a filmmaker, of course, for the cinematic. But either way, the information's in there, the journey's in there, and that's what's really important.
Thanks to Friends and Neighbors filmmaker Benjamin Wagner and our Joe Irizarry for enlightening us this week. There will be a screening of Friends and Neighbors at the Dover Public Library on May 12th at 5 p.m. with Benjamin Wagner and State Representative Alana Berry, who's in the film. And that's all we have time for on this edition of The Green. The stories and interviews you've heard are online right now at DelawarePublic.org. Just head to The Green's page on our website. You can also sign up for our weekly newsletter there by clicking newsletters at the top of the page. And remember, The Green is also available via podcast at our website, as well as Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and the NPR and Delaware Public Media apps. Thanks to all those who helped make this week's show possible. Contributor John Hurdle, Delaware Public Media's Bento Boutier, Joe Irizarry, and Martin Matheny, along with our producer, Jay Shaw. For all of them and the rest of the staff here at Delaware Public Media, I'm Tom Byrne saying thanks for joining us this week. And we'll see you again next week on The Green, where Delawareans get tuned into A First State of Mind.